evening. Welcome to Random Bible Thoughts with Russ. Tonight is my part four of my redemption study. And tonight we're going to be talking about regeneration, sanctification, and completed. I did this study this year. I wrote it near the beginning of this year. And then after this, I got some, I don't know if it's exciting, but I got some kind of funny news that I'm going to do here for my next moment in the Word. So anyway, let's just get right into it. Here's a brief meaning of regeneration. Hence, renovation. Regeneration, the product of a new life consecrated to God. A radical change of mind for the better. The word often used to denote the restoration of a thing that to its pristine state. Its renovation as a renewal or restoration of life after death. So regeneration, new garments. New garments, I'm using it metaphorically, actually, I guess would be a better term. In one sense, yet it's scriptural also. In Romans 5:17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So you have that death came through the one man, but we can have a regeneration through the one man, Jesus Christ, because of his death on the cross. It's a free gift. And I have a study that I did, I think it was the last one actually, on what the free gift is. I am also in the process of writing a sequel to the free gift called Free Gift Rejected. Romans 6:6-8. We know that our old self, our old man, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one man who died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That's regeneration. We're living with Christ. When you come to Christ, the old man, who we are in Adam, is crucified. Old garments removed with its dirt and grime of sin. Regenerated with new garments alive with Christ. I'm going to make a statement that some may feel is wrong. There are numerous verses about the sinful flesh or desires of the flesh. So the flesh isn't regenerated. That won't happen until the bodily resurrection. This flesh here is not regenerated. Otherwise, I wouldn't be getting old. I wouldn't stumble over things. I wouldn't be getting gray. I wouldn't be getting wrinkly. This flesh is not regenerated. Regeneration is an internal event. An internal, the mind, the heart, the spirit. I think Romans 8:6 makes it fairly clear. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. The complete Jewish Bible in Romans 6, having one's mind controlled by the old nature is death, but, and that's that contrast, this is a contrast to the statement I just made, one's mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, or shalom, as they put it. And I just said it, but there's that word, but. The following statement after the but canceled out the first statement. Before regeneration, our old way of thinking is sinful flesh, or nature, leads to death. Having been regenerated, receiving a new garment, clothed in Christ, when you come to Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Messiah, leads to life and peace. Regeneration is similar to repentance. Repentance means to turn away from, to miss the mark. Sin is to miss the mark, so I guess it'd be to hit the mark. As I'm looking at the word repentance, regeneration probably comes with repentance. And I don't mean just saying I'm sorry, saying Father forgive me, and Jesus come into my life. Repentance, then boom, regeneration, way of thinking, internal to the new direction of a new garment life of peace. Okay, I read that without any kind of punctuation, so let me do that again. Alright, I'm going to back this up. But repentance and regeneration probably come with repentance. I don't mean just saying, I'm sorry. I mean saying, and I should have maybe put that in there, saying, God, forgive me. Jesus, come into my life. Repentance. Then, boom. Regeneration. Way of thinking. Internal. Turn to the new direction. New garment. Life. Peace. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self, the old man, with its practices, and have put on the new self, the new man, which is being renewed, or you might say regenerated, in the knowledge after the image of its creator. That's Jesus Christ. He's our creator. You will see in Colossians 3, 9 through 10, used again for a different point on sanctification. Put off the old self has the aspect of removing your clothing, your dirty clothing. The verbiage in the Complete Jewish Bible, I think, gives a better show of this. Because you have stripped away the old self. I like that better. Have stripped away the old garment. Because you have been regenerated, when you come to Christ, you can now put on new clothing, new garments. I think when you come to Christ as your Lord and Savior, a triune thing happens. And yes, I use triune intentionally because the Trinity. I just use triune intentionally. A triune thing happens. Repentance, turn away from sin. Regeneration, removal of the old garments, put on new garments. And sanctification, the start of continual washing, a continual cleansing of yourself, your innermost part being your head, mind, soul, spirit. After talking with a friend of mine, a pastor in Nebraska, and we talk every Wednesday unless something happens, and but we talk every Wednesday via Zoom. After talking with my pastor in Nebraska, and also my very good friend, Matt, about the triune effect of, I mentioned, he said, some would say you are regenerated first because you can't repent without regeneration. I'll say because of repentance, you're regenerated. It's splitting hairs. When you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the three things, repentance, regeneration, and sanctification, happen simultaneously. So let's take a look at the unending washing of sanctification. Unending washing, sanctification. What does the word sanctified or sanctification mean? What does it mean to be sanctified? How is a person sanctified? Is it a one-shot event or is it continual? These are questions that new believers or some seeking may ask. Maybe even some that have been believers in Jesus Christ for many years and yet don't understand, don't know. They're still on the milk. They're not on solid food yet, and that's a shame. Years of study and they don't know. So let's get started. What does the word sanctified or sanctification mean? In the Old Testament, in Strong's Concordance, Kadash. Kadash is a word, part of the speech, it's a verb. So it's an action. Sanctification is an action. Something's happening there. Meaning to be set apart, to be consecrated, to set apart as a sacred, consecrate, dedicate, to set apart, devote, and consecrate. Consecrate's in there a lot. In there a lot. You dedicate yourself to God. You're being sanctified continually being dedicated, continually being washed from within. Sanctified is an action word which happens, something's taking place. I get ahead of myself. The New Testament Greek, hagiadzo. I had the pronunciation on the side here. I broke down how to pronounce it, but I'm still probably butchering it. It's also a verb, as in the Old Testament, meaning to separate from profane things, to dedicate to God, consecrate things to God, dedicate people to God, to purify, to cleanse externally, to purify by expiation, free from the guilt of sin, to purify internally by renewing of the soul. Here's from Grudem's. There's my Grudem's. Grudem's Systematic Theology. A progressive work of God and man cooperate that make us more and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. More and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. There are three stages of sanctification. The beginning at regeneration, increases throughout life, and complete at death and resurrection. Stage one of sanctification is regeneration. Titus 3:4-6. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His mercy, His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, when He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Excuse me. At regeneration, initial moral change happens. That's the beginning of sanctification. Romans 6:11 tells us, you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. This is a moral change at regeneration, the beginning of sanctification. Acts 20:32. And now I command you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The Greek phrase here, who are sanctified, expresses two things: a completed past activity and a continual sanctifying influence from the past action. A completed past activity and a continual sanctifying influence from the past action. So you're continually being sanctified because of what happened. From your past activity, you're still being completed and sanctified. That's from Grudem's Systematic Theology. Romans 6:19. I am using popular language because... No, this isn't the one I thought. I am using popular language because your human nature is so weak. Just as you used to offer your various parts as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which lead to more lawlessness, so now offer your various parts as slaves to righteousness, which leads to being made holy and set apart, sanctified for God. That's the complete Jewish Bible. So when you didn't become a believer, when you weren't being sanctified, you used your body for sin. Whatever you did, it was for sin. Now, saying use it for righteousness, as you are being made holy and set apart, you are sanctified for God. As this verse indicates, when we would yield to sin, sin increased. In the same way, yield more and more to righteousness, be made holy and sanctified. This is a continual process. The more you yield to righteousness and being made holy, the more righteousness and being holy you are. You're being sanctified. Sanctification is a continual process. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the complete Jewish Bible. Same verse, just a different translation. So all of us, with faces unveiled, see in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we are being changed into the very image from one degree of glory to the next by Adonai the Spirit. Colossians 3:9-10. Never lie to one another, because you have stripped away the old self with its ways, and having put on the new self, which is continually being renewed, continually being sanctified, in a fuller and fuller knowledge, closer and closer to the image of its creator. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and put on the new self with being renewed in knowledge of after the image of our creator. Okay, that's two different translations. I ran them right together. I did not put a gap in there. But I like how the Complete Jewish Bible says you're made in fuller and fuller knowledge, closer and closer to the image of Christ, our Creator. And I put it down again. Same verse. I'm not going to read it this time. Back to the definition of sanctification. To be set apart, consecrated, dedicated to God, and to purify internally by renewing of the soul. 2 Corinthians 3:18 and Colossians 3:9-10 both show that as Christians we are continually being changed into the image and glory and knowledge of our Lord, becoming more dedicated to God as our sanctification continues. The last definition, to purify internally by renewing of the soul. Sanctification is a continual process in our walk with Jesus Christ. We will still sin, we will still fall short of perfection, but we have an advocate, Jesus Christ our Lord, who stands before God and says, he is mine, or she is mine. Through sanctification, we become more like Christ in knowledge and image. Our sanctification won't be completed until our death, or maybe better said, our resurrection, when we are resurrected in our glorified bodies. That brings me to the last step of sanctification, completed at death and resurrection. Just going back up here just a moment, I think I had something I wanted to say. Oh, for those who say Christians don't sin, they are in error. For that verse I just read, let me find it again. There's the verse that says, I tell you these things so you will not sin. But if you do sin, and speaking to believers, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ our Lord, who stands before God and says he is mine. If Christians didn't sin, there'd be no need for a verse like that. Absolutely none. And there are other verses that show the same type of thing. Completed at death and resurrection. Sanctification is only completed when we are resurrected and receive our resurrected body. For nothing unclean shall enter the presence of the heavenly city. Revelation 21:27. Nothing impure may enter it, nor anyone who does shameful things or lies. The only ones who may enter are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Gives the answer as to when sanctification is completed. 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Complete Jewish Bible, same verse. May the God of peace make you completely holy. May your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless for the coming of the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Excuse me. Just as we have borne the image of man of dust, we shall also bear the image of man of heaven. When we are fully sanctified, or you might say made completely holy, we will bear the image of Christ in perfection. I just saw a deer run by the window. Recap. Beginning of sanctification starts at regeneration. It's a lifelong process and continual action taking place in your walk with Christ, in your relationship with Christ. Completed in our resurrection at the coming of the Lord Yeshua Messiah. I'd like to close with this verse of encouragement, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So, my dear brothers, stand firm and immovable, always doing the Lord's work as vigorously as you can, knowing that, united with the Lord, your efforts are not in vain. Remember, continue in the Lord's work. Vigorously for the Lord, your efforts are not in vain. And God bless. Okay, that was part 4. I hope you enjoyed that. I have coming up tomorrow, I think the moment in the Word is going to be on Paul. It's going to be about Paul. The sarcasm of Paul. This came about because of a study I was doing with my friend Matt in Nebraska, and I'm here in South Dakota. We're doing it via Zoom, and his dad was there. I was talking about being sarcastic, how I gotta watch it, because sometimes I can get a little carried away with it. Sometimes I get a little carried away, and it can really hurt people's feelings. And when it starts getting to that point, I think you're basically, you're sinning. There's no basic about it, you're sinning. So I gotta watch it. That's saying something about sarcasm. Anyways, Matt's dad, Don, mentioned Paul is a pretty sarcastic person. And he gave some scriptural references, and I did a little search and go, this will be a fun one. So tomorrow, in Random Bible Thoughts with Russ, a moment in Word, will be on Paul and sarcasm. That ought to be fun. Hey, if you like my videos, please give me a like, subscribe, leave me comments. I can also be heard on Spotify, Random Bible Thoughts with Russ, and other podcast platforms. You can also hear or read what I've done on russ-biblethought.blogspot.com. And if you'd like to reach out to me and just a question or ask a certain topic or something like that, you can email me at melchizedeklikechrist@gmail.com. It's melchizedeklikechrist@gmail.com. May you have a wonderful evening. God bless.